Today we're going to hear from the Gospel of John and from Revelation. Now I want you to, I'd like for you this week to look at this particular passage in John in chapter 17. It's one of my favorites. But I want you to look at it because of what it means and what it says. It's one of my favorites because it's such a beautiful passage. So turn with me, if you will, to the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verses 20 through 26. And before I read the word aloud for us today, let us go to God in prayer. Holy God, you are here in this space. Every hour we need you indeed. We are grateful for you, O God. Grateful for the good gifts that you send us, for voices that can lift up words and song and beauty to you. Grateful for those who can help the rest of us sound better. Grateful for your good gifts of mercy and grace, of healing. Grateful for the gift and hope of resurrection. Not just in the hereafter, but today, now, O God, every day we celebrate resurrection. You give us new life. You put our feet on the good earth so that we might go forth and proclaim your good and holy name. So help us to hear today your word for us. Let us chew on it as if it were our last supper. Help us to ingest your word so that it might fill us up to overflowing, so that we can go out from this place energized and on fire, not for our glory, O God, but for yours, for the sake of your kingdom, for the sake of your people, for those whom you send our way. Help us to pour out your love and your grace that you pour into us. Let us share it for the good gifts that they are. And in this moment now, here today on this patch of holy ground, help us to hear your word anew. Help us to hear directly from you. In your name, in the name of your Son and our Savior, we lift all of this humbly to you, to your feet, O God. Amen. So the Gospel of John. Here in chapter 17, we've just celebrated the resurrection, but so we're in the second Sunday of Easter, because make no mistake, we are Easter people, and we are still in the season of Easter. But today I want to take you a step back to that Last Supper in the Gospel of John, because here in this moment, he's praying for his disciples. Now you might think that that means he was praying for the 12 who were gathered with him at the table. And indeed he was, but he was also praying for the disciples who had yet to come. He was praying for us. So I want you to let that weigh on your mind and your heart today and tomorrow and the next, that at his last meal, the thing that was on Jesus' mind was us. The thing that he was thinking about in his last earthly hours was us. What a gift. Hear verses 20 through 26 and what he says in his prayer. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. as you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they might be one. As we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory which you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you. And these know you that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love which you have loved me with may be in them and I in them. There are no more beautiful words in Scripture, brothers and sisters in Christ. For that is the essence. That is it. Jesus is praying to his God, to his Father, on our behalf. What a great and glorious gift. He wants to reside within us, he says, so that I may be in them as you are in me. Love them as you have loved me, he says. Wow. I mean, that is amazing. There are no better words in Scripture than those. How are we not shouting that from the rooftops every time we get up in the morning? That Jesus was so concerned about us that he said, let me be in them, O God, as you are in me. So you see, the beauty of that scripture is that we carry a little bit of Jesus Christ in us. That is so gorgeous. That is just, those are beautiful words. It's hard for me to contain it. Now let's turn to the book of Revelation, the very last page. We're skipping ahead a little bit. It's like jumping to the end of the book. But it's allowed. Chapter 12, verses 12 through 21, or chapter 22, verses 12 through 21. It says this: see, I am coming soon. My reward is with me to repay according to everyone's work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they will have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and fornicators and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. It is I, Jesus, who sent my angel to you with this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let everyone who hears say, come. And let everyone who is thirsty come. And let anyone who wishes to take the water of life as a gift. But I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away that person's share in the tree of life and in the holy city which are described in this book. But the one who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen. Now, brothers and sisters in Christ, what strikes me about these words in Revelation and these words in John is that they are last words. You say, okay. So what's so special about last words, preacher? Well, let me tell you, it's like this, you see. And I'm going to tell you a lot of times about my mom and my daddy because, you know, they still are up here in my head and my heart talking to me. My mama, you see, she believed in the power of last words. She would always say, you settle arguments before you go to bed. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. And she always made it a rule that if you were fussing and fighting, you settled that argument before you left one another. I remember every night before bed, we would make our rounds and kiss each other goodnight and say, I love you. I also remember her saying, if I had a dollar every time she would tell me not to leave angry, because you never know what might happen out in the world, I could pay a bill or two. And I try to live by these rules that Mama taught me. Some days I make it, some days I don't. But I know now why she was so worried about last words. I know because I have a son. When I put him on the bus for school, or when I drop him off with his dad, I kneel down and I say, son, I love you. Especially when I take him to school, I say, son, I'll be back this afternoon, I promise. I'm not leaving you forever. I'm coming back. And I say, now remember, when you go in that classroom, you're smart. Remember who you are. You might know what this is like. Maybe you've been at the bedside of somebody that you love that was dying. I've been there a lot of times with a lot of different people, thanks to the grace of God. And last words that are said in those moments, it's holy space. It's really sacred time. Because you see, those last words that we say to one another, they're important because they stick. Last words that we say to each other can sometimes make a life, and sometimes they can break it. I've seen that too. I know folk in my own family that still to this day have not dealt with the grief they hold with inside of them because they left someone they love with words of hate instead of words of love. And that's hard. So last words are so very important. And that's why I want you to hold on to these words in Revelation and the words in Gospel of John. This last prayer that Jesus lifts up for us. In Revelation, we're told, grace be with all the saints. The grace of Lord Jesus Christ be with all the saints. Now you say, now preacher, hold on a minute. First of all, we ain't Catholic. Okay, I get it. But let me tell you something. We're all a little bit saint and a little bit sinner. That phrase in Scripture is talking about us. We're a mixture of the two. obviously in the Protestant church, we sort of shied away from the word saint, you know, because the Reformation and all that. But it's okay. Because we're a mixture of both, saint and sinner. But that word grace, you're going to hear me talk a lot about that word, I hope and pray. Certainly over the next few weeks, and I hope maybe years. I want you to hold on to that word grace. Because sometimes I think we overuse it and it's lost its luster and its shine because it's such a treasured word. And you say, sometimes children, when they're really young, you have to explain to them what that word means because it's sort of one of those churchy words. You know, it's not quite a 50-cent word, but it might be a 25-cent one. It's in Scripture nearly 200 times. So it must be important. So what is it? It is unmerited favor. In other words, it's love and mercy that we do not deserve. There is nothing we can do, not a single thing we can do where we can earn that kind of love. Where we can earn grace. Folks in prison have it. Drug addicts have it. Alcoholics have it. Murderers have it. Now, we don't like to hear that. We read stories about folks that do these horrible things, and we think, Jesus put them under the jail. Don't let them back out ever again. But you see, Jesus, works a little bit different. Grace is not something we earn, and it is not the kind of love that we like to give when things are peaceful or happy or when people do what we want them to do. Vote how we want them to vote. Give to what we want them to give to. It's not that kind of love. That's not how grace works. Sorry. Not sorry. That's not how it works. Now, I want to be honest with you. You think maybe because I got this robe on that it's easy for me. That I can love everybody. And that I don't ever have no trouble with nobody. Well, that's a lie. I'll tell you why. Just last week, I was over at Lydia Church. And as this fellow lives across the street, and I think he might be under the influence of something he might not ought to be taking. Because the day that I was over there, he had four speakers out on the front porch, and it was blaring some kind of music with all kind of cuss words and everything in it. And it was so loud, I could hear it coming down the highway before I even got to the street. And I said, Jesus, Lord, have mercy. What is he thinking? And after a few minutes of that, I thought, you know, if I wasn't so scared, I might go over there and punch him in the face because that music's just too dang loud. You see, somebody like that I don't want to pray for. I want to go over and fuss at him a little bit. Maybe do something else. I don't know. But you see, here's the thing. There's something that fella and me have in common, and that's grace. He may not know he's got grace. If he's under the influence, alcohol or drugs or whatever, he might not know he's got grace, but it's still there. God's still saying, come to me. You're my child. I don't like it, because I think he's being rude and disrespectful. Police have been out to his house three or four times that we've seen since we've been there. But God loves him just the same as he loves me. This ain't easy, folks. Sometimes people want you to give them all the answers out of the rule book and how you're supposed to live and what you're supposed to do when you come up against an enemy like that. It's not easy, I'll tell you that. But what I will say is this, God calls me to pray for that man just as much as I would pray for my mama or my daddy or my son. That much I do know. Because grace is unmerited favor. We don't earn it. There is no to-do list long enough, perfect enough, that will allow us to earn that grace. There is nothing that we did out of our own skill or strength that caused Jesus to pray for us before that last meal. Not a thing. Which means that prayer is for you and you and me and the person that the human in us wants to despise. And man, that's hard. That is not an easy task, but is what we are called to do nonetheless. We are called to know about this grace. Here Jesus is saying, Father, let me be in them as you are in me. So that means that when God claims one of his children, we are bound to him forever. Now, sometimes we know it. I have friends who don't know it. Some of the sweetest people I know don't know that God's already got them by the hand. I want them to know it. But whether they know it or not does not change the fact that God is within them. That is the grace of God. That is the beauty of God. It is the beauty of God that Jesus prays for us, that he was concerned for us, that in his last moments, it was thoughts of us that filled his mind and his heart and his very being. That is such a beautiful thing. It is hard to contain it when I talk about it. Because there is no other name like Jesus. And the fact that he prayed for us in those last moments. Father, let me be in them as you are in me. Wow. That is absolutely amazing that we carry through the power of the Spirit, the divine within us. So why don't we want to let that grow within us? Why do we choose to hide it under a bushel basket sometimes? Why don't we say, God, decrease me so that you might grow, so that others might see you more clearly? Because that's what he's asking us to do. We're going to get it right some days, and we're going to get it wrong. But we keep trying. Crying because Jesus loves us that much that he wants to dwell within us. He didn't have to say that prayer. He could have been thinking about himself. I would have. I don't want to do this, Lord. Heck, I've said that today. And the cross was not something I was facing. Sometimes we get up and we think, Lord Jesus, I don't want to do today. Let us try instead to get up and say, Lord Jesus, thank you for today. Tell me, what can I do today to share your good news with your people? What can I do today to show grace, unmerited favor to someone else because you showed it to me? What can I do to get out of the way so that you might shine brighter and wider and deeper? What can we do today and tomorrow to share that grace, to share that prayer with others, to let them know that they matter, not because of what job they do or what house they have or what clothes they wear or what kind of car they drive, or even, hold on a minute, wait for it, even how they vote in November. Because that stuff, in a way, matters to God, but in a way, it doesn't. What matters is what's right in here. How do we treat each other? That's what matters. Do you cuss at the guy with the speakers turned way up? Or do you say a prayer for him? That's what matters. Maybe some days you do a little bit of both. Thank God for grace. So as you leave from this place today, brothers and sisters in Christ, ask yourself how you can share these last words with somebody else. Because it might make their whole life. You never know. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. O holy God, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for the good gifts of grace and love and mercy. Help us to share those good gifts with your people. Decrease within us, O God, so that you might increase. You were there. You were always there within us, but help us, O God, to respond to that. Help us to get out of the way, to put our egos and our pride and our fears aside, so that you might be glorified. Not for our sake, but for yours. For the sake of your people and your kingdom, we pray this prayer today, tomorrow, forever. In the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, we lift this all to you. Amen.